Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Johnson, Squidbilly, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out on a Thursday morning. I mentioned that the temperature is going to be a little bit lower today, which is nice. It's been muggy the last few days. And our good buddy Rusty Manziel, who's going to join us at 8 o'clock, he's on his way in the car listening. He reminded me that it's 49 days, not 59.
Yeah, he's
49 straight days of football on TV. I apologize. I'm just excited.
Rusty's kind of turning into like Zeno Light. Where he texts us every time he hears something.
Don't you do my man Rusty like that. Rusty's, dude, and I know he's probably listening. I'm going to say this anyway. I don't know that there's anybody at this station I'd rather just sit and have a beer with and talk football.
Oh, no, absolutely
he
not.
Rusty's like one of those guys that probably has like really cool nicknames for beer.
If you know how Steak always
cold
like.
Cold units and tall boys and I don't know.
You know how Steak's always like. Have you gone to dinner? Who's the four people that you take? Like, who are the people you're taking with you? And that's be like. Imagine this. Me, you, Rusty, and Arch, Dave Archer, sitting in a bar watching college football all day long.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, you know, I don't know. Sometimes a high top kind of hurts my back these days. I'm getting old. Maybe I have to get a booth or something.
Jesus.
But I'm just saying, you know, have, you know, get some wings and maybe pull up to like a Twin Peaks or something, and just eat all day. Like, they have that, they have, what do they, it's the cheese, like the cheese ball things are so good. Anyways, you think Rusty's bringing us Bojangle biscuits?
Another one of those, there's a lot of branches on that tree. Maybe he's not. Maybe we could throw a last-minute order in there.
Yeah, I
do. You know what
it.
I mean?
He's probably like, I already got the order in.
Those Bowberry biscuits. Yeah, Rusty, hook that up on your way in, man. I know that. I know there's a few of those between here and Rome, so get that hooked up.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyways. I don't know where the beer thing came from. I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like Rusty's got good nicknames for beer. I just knowing Rusty, he's like one of those guys that's going to be like, hey, while you're up, bring me one of those silver Snickers out of the fridge.
What do you think?
Like,
Rusty definitely looks like he calls certain beers Old Milwaukee. Hey, bring me Old Milwaukee.
What
no
kind of beer?
No matter what it is.
Well, that's a good, it's a good point, actually. What kind of beer do you think Rusty drinks? I bet you back in the day.
Strikes me as a Yingling kind of guy.
See, I bet you back in the day he had a Bud Heavy and like a Marlboro Light hanging out of his mouth.
I don't know that.
But at this point, Rusty's probably like, boys. Watch him await. He's like,
no doubt.
He's got a.
It's probably a Mick Ultra.
Yes, exactly a Mick Ultra. Yeah. I guarantee you, he's drinking Mick Ultra these days.
I agree with the Mick Ultra back in the day. I feel like back in the day, he might have been a Miller High Life type of dude.
Yeah, I could see him as a banquet beer. I could see him as a banquet beer kind of guy. Anyways, man, we got a lot of Falcons stuff to get to. We are keeping track of the Atlanta Falcons showdown with the Buffalo Bills. Hey, before we get there, I want to remind you guys, our wall-to-wall coverage of this Monday's Falcons-Bills game starts at 11 a.m. with a special broadcast from the Signia by Hilton Hotel. Dukes and Bell will be joined by Randy McMichael from Nest on 4, the Signia Sports Bar overlooking Mercedes-Benz Stadium as they break down Monday night's matchup. Come out and get your tailgate started early with Dukes and Bell and Randy McMichael Monday from 11 to 3 at the Signia by Hilton on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, so I want to get this cut. We've been talking really all week because the Falcons are coming off a bye week about kind of what changes we want to see, what differences we might want to see, how, you know, the Falcons offense and defense can keep up the high bar that they've set in certain games this year, aside from the Carolina game, obviously, for the offense. Raheem Morris, look, he laid out kind of what improvements he wants to see after the self-scout.
From a stat standpoint, you're pretty ecstatic about where you are in a lot of categories. And the categories you want to improve, obviously, are the main ones for us on offense is scoring touchdowns. You know, if we can improve that, we'll have a really good offense, right? We got all these yardage things and all the stuff that don't matter. We got a lot of things that you have from the field position standpoint that helps out the defensive stats, which all those things are working out really well. And then some of our coverage things on obviously in special teams, we want to do better. And I think those things will come, you know, having the ability to be able to get back and see some of the returns from Agnew and some of the guys that's coming back.
I think that red zone will continue to be a point of emphasis for this team. And this – and I've been hard on Zach Robinson today and really on Raheem Morris's words, but I'm gonna side with Zach Robinson and Raheem on one thing offensively. The problems in the red zone date back way before they got here. This was also an Arthur Smith issue when it came to the red zone. Now, the beautiful part for Arthur Smith is he was willing to run Desmond Ridder when they got into the tight red. When they got to the 10-yard line, he was like, okay, it's time for zone read and let's run the quarterback. You don't see us doing that. It's one of the reasons I've been calling for it. Hey, one carry a game for Michael Penix. Just when you get in the red zone, allow him to pull it, kind of get out in the exterior, give him a run pass option, much in the way you did. And maybe that was part of the play design, the touchdown to Kyle Pitts. He does what? He does a zone read, a fake handoff. He does a half roll. He immediately hits Kyle Pitts in the flat on that little, you know, mini bootleg, which was a nice play design. But the way your offense and your offensive line are kind of put together, you're going to struggle in tight areas of the field where it could be, you know, obvious rundowns and things like that. Chris Lindstrom's all pro. He weighs 305. He's not going to be pushing Derek Brown off the ball.
Well, I had that conversation with the real Mark Zeno the other day. Like, we were talking about he was going up the Flowery Branch, and he was talking about, you know, what we were discussing, what maybe was emphasis in the bye week about the self-scout. And I was like, look, I think it's hard to get a real sample size after four games. If there's anything I can tell you that they absolutely need to be better on, it is third and short. And he's like, I'm a pistol. And I go, well, hold on a second. It's not – I would much rather them be under center for third and shorts, although when you only do it so many times, it probably is a little bit of a giveaway you're running the football. But, I you know, on third and one or less, can we not try to push the middle of a pile depending on the defensive alignment – to get, you know, Michael Penix to reach cross. But the reality is you go into the third and short, because this team's been good so far this year. The Falcons have been way better this year on third downs than they have in the past. They're 41%, or right at 42%, which is 10th in the league on third down conversions so far. But third and short still struggles. The play against Washington, where you go for it, and I believe it was fourth and short, right? And you're blown up. The left side of the line gets blown up.
I think both sides of the line got blown up, if my memory is correct.
You lose, though, on that left side where the ball went, because Dan Quinn, he guessed right that they were running the left side. And you pointed that to me, overloaded it.
Yep.
There's nothing you can – that's not because you ran out of pistol. That's because – you got beat up front, and they blew it up, and your leverage was bad, and they overloaded you. I think you're absolutely onto something. Like, you're not built for those short downs. So if anything, yeah, I do need Zach. We talked about earlier, Zach Robinson being more creative. Be more creative in the short yardage situations and those instances. I don't need you to run it every time. I'm fine with you having a high percentage throw.
Yeah. No, and I'm with you on that, actually. And look, I've said it all along, guys. The pistol is not the main problem. It's how we're utilizing pistol and the predictability when we're in pistol that becomes a little bit of an issue. We can run pistol and be less predictable. We were pointing out, you know, watching last year's tape this morning. We're watching the Jets against the Bills last year and looking at Joe Fulbrook's scheme. And you look at the Bills and some of the pre-snap motions they have. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers is in the pistol. Josh Allen's been in the pistol. It's all about what we're doing around the pistol. You know, that kind of bleeds back into it. And here's what I'll say about the short yardage thing. I do think that there are certain people, and I'm going to put Tyler Allgeier in this category, that are more comfortable attacking the line of scrimmage when the quarterback is under center. So if we're going to use Tyler Allgeier and it's going to be third and half a yard and you're just putting it out on the table that you're going to run the ball, then sure, go under. But do you trust your offensive line that much to get enough push to say, all right, we're just going to tell them we're running the football? If you don't, if you think your offensive line can be had, remember, our best run blocker is out for the year. If you don't trust your offensive line that way, then you have to continue to at least make them guess in some way when you get under center.
I need Charlie Warner carrying the football.
Ooh.
In short yard situations. And I don't need it every down. But man, I mean, the we've seen the fullback dive with Bijan and Algier, and Algier is the fullback, and then giving it to him.
Yeah,
give me the fullback dive with Bijan and Warner in there, or Algier and Warner in there, because you think Warner's going to get the ball as a lead blocker with Algier behind him? No, that's not what your thought process is.
No,
or could, I don't know how this play would develop, but could you even do something where you? This sounds crazy, but play action to Warner as that fullback dive and then have Penix just tuck in behind him.
Yeah.
And dive ahead in a short yard situation. Get creative with it. I don't know if that would work. Hell, I'm not a play caller, but figure it out.
Let me play devil's advocate from Zach Robinson's standpoint. All right, Charlie Warner's I don't know this to be sure, but I'm going to guess this to be sure. He's probably never taken a handoff in his life.
Practice it.
Okay. All right, here's the problem.
I sounded like a fan
here's
there.
Here's the problem. I was going to say, here's the problem.
Work on it.
This is what's going to happen. If you get into a big part of the game, let's just say it's fourth and one, third and one, whatever it is. It's a massive, like, you're like, man, we really need this. We need to stay on the field. We need our defense to get a rest. We need to be able to put points on the board. And you hand it off to Charlie Warner, and it looks awkward, and he doesn't look like he's ever taken a snap in his life. What do you think the reaction is when he doesn't pick up the first down?
Wow. You're going to let a guy carry the ball that's never carried a ball in his life off the most important play of the game or possibly of the season?
Okay.
That's the reaction.
But here's the deal.
That's the reaction.
Here's the deal. What? Okay, well, let's just say, hold on, same situation, and I do the we've seen it a couple of they did it and it worked. They actually did it this year, and it didn't work, where I let Algier be the lead blocker out there, and I pitch it to Bijan, and it gets bottled up in the backfield. Oh, we've seen that before. Why can't you be creative? You know, you never create. It's the same play. I knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. What's the deal? What's the difference?
The difference to me is, at least if you're handing it off to Bijan, you're handing it off to the best player on your football team, possibly in the NFL. I think I could live with that one.
I'm telling you, it does. No, there is no difference. I'm going to argue with you here. There is no difference. Because
there is a difference.
There isn't. Because, you know, the fan is going to be, you know, the loud noise, the sports, most sports talk guys, you know, I can name a couple of them that I've worked with, and the fan are gonna they're not going to care. They're going to throw it out that you failed, and either way, they didn't like the call. It's either stupid because you're creative, or it's stupid and predictable because you weren't. Okay, the situation is if it works, we care and we're happy, and if it doesn't work, we hate you and we care and we're mad.
Well.
It doesn't matter who got the ball, when, or where. It's just if it works or it doesn't.
I agree with that to an extent. I will say this to kind of finish up the conversation. Charlie Warner needs to catch a ball while he is lined up in the backfield. That is something that I think has got to be a part of the self-scout and bye week. If you're going to line him up in the backfield in pass protection on third and long, you've got to be able to run like a middle screen to him up the middle and kind of slip him out of the backfield and actually catch a ball, especially when they go double A gap mugs. With the linebackers. So.
And look, I'm not trying to be simplistic, but the bottom line is that it all people care about is if it worked or it didn't, and they're going to complain no matter what.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily talking about the complainers. I'm just saying what I'd feel more comfortable with him doing, and I'd feel more comfortable with him handing it off to Tyler Algier than Charlie Warner. Whatever you have to do, maybe they fake a handoff to Charlie Warner and do something else. I don't know, but that's I think I would have a hard time sleeping if we got on Monday Night Football in a big situation in the game. Charlie Warner tries to take a handoff. He can't attack the line of scrimmage. He gets stuffed in the back. I would feel sick about that.
I understand it. It's a gamble. You got to have different wrinkles. If we can't sit here and scream creativity and not allow him to be creative, I get what you're saying. I don't disagree. The difference is, what if it works? Yeah. And when it works, boy, it's a love fest for how great of a decision it was and creativity and wrinkle and all that stuff.
A reminder, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NFL. There is a former Georgia Bulldog expected to make his season debut tonight. We're also going to dive further into this Joe Flacco starting for the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend. Stick with us. The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game. Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. It's the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Dylan hanging out with you here on a Thursday morning. I can confirm Rusty did not bring any Bowberry biscuits.
Yeah, Rusty Claus didn't come through.
I will say this. I am starting to, I think I might be next up for Top 5 Tuesday. Mm. Breakfast sandwiches might be on deck because I am starving right now. And bro, our friends at McDonald's that we've had to smell a couple times, we've been out there on remotes. It could go down.
That's why I always get me a biscuit there, McGriddle or a biscuit. You know what's funny?
A chicken McGriddle will hit right now.
Mm. Is
tell me what's funny.
I wasn't hungry, and then I saw like an advertisement for a Tombstone Pizza on my pop up on my Twitter.
Man,
and I got hungry, and then we started talking about Rusty, and I was like, I wonder if Rusty get me a biscuit.
He just walked in here and said, we waited too long. He said, got ITP, and he's like, I wasn't pulling off at that point.
I was like, dude, I didn't have my GPS tracker on you. It wasn't. I mean, it was on there. It just wasn't turned on, so I don't know what's going on.
We'll have Rusty coming up, obviously, at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk more about that big matchup, the Georgia Bulldogs going down to Jordan-Hare. Jordan-Hare to face off with Auburn, and that's going to be really interesting to keep track of. Also, coming up on Mic'd Up here in just a minute, we're going to do kind of a buy-or-sell stock version of some of these college football quarterbacks, because I think it's kind of that time of year. You're starting to edge towards midseason. Some of these guys are starting to separate themselves from the pack. It's just a fun time of the year in college football, and especially when you have Monday Night Football for the Atlanta Falcons. It's like all my focus can go into Saturday in college football.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be out at the Bulldog Kia from noon to 2 on Saturday in Athens.
Oh, they didn't invite me.
No, you can come. I'll pick you up.
Oh, no, I think it's okay.
No, I'll pick you up. Everybody wants to see.
Enemy territory for me. I don't think they'd like me much.
Just don't wear your Kalen DeBoer's hoodie and you'll be fine. Don't forget.
The black hoodie of death, they call it.
Yeah, don't forget, guys. You know, that hoodie's from last year, by the way.
Ding.
I'm wearing the Falcons version of it right now. It's a 24 hoodie. But you know what? You probably already knew that. Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Bunch of stuff to get to in the NFL. We did have a trade that we'll break down and get to Joe Flacco here in just a minute, but Thursday Night Football is coming up tonight. You got the 4-1 Eagles taking on the 1-4 Giants. It does look like former Georgia Bulldog star N'Kobe Dean will make his season debut. Remember, he had that bad knee injury. I think that was in the playoffs last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was against the Rams.
Yeah, a breakout season for N'Kobe Dean. He has not been in the fold. They've actually been, I think, Jahad Campbell, the rookie, has been starting in his place for the Eagles defense.
He'll probably be better long term. I think Jahad Campbell's a player.
I think that's – dude, N'Kobe Dean is a beast. I think he had 8 games last year with 10 or more tackles. Come on.
Well, the best thing about N'Kobe Dean is he's a little bit undersized. And best thing for him is the fact that the monsters he plays for up front.
No doubt.
They clear a lot, and it allows him to be what he was in college.
Yeah.
Which is an instinctual player who maybe the speed is not his necessarily biggest asset, but he plays fast.
Yeah,
and he reads and reacts really well. So, look, I don't have any issues with N'Kobe Dean. There was the whole back and forth. The Falcons should have got him here, and they didn't, and blah, blah, blah. But last year was his breakout. It was really the first year he ever started there. First year he started.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to keep track of that when the Giants are 7.5-point underdogs at home at MetLife Stadium. That one's right for the picking, I think.
Well, yeah, you literally just lost in New Orleans. Yeah. I mean, but what does Jackson Dart do? This is the best defense he's faced.
I saw an interview with Jackson Dart, or I guess it was just his, talking to the media, and he said, look, this is my first loss in the NFL, but let's be honest, it's not going to be my last, and we're going to, kind of do the things we need to do to move forward. I think he's going to be a great player in the NFL. I just don't know that Brian Daboll is going to be the coach when it's said and done that gets him there. And I hope it is, because I think Brian Daboll knows how to use him, but I'm just not sure. I don't know. At this point, I'm looking at it going, dude, something's got to break loose here.
You think the quick trigger on head coaches in this league is part of the reasons why you see the developmental issues with the young quarterbacks that we're seeing, and then all of a sudden and they go there to their third or fourth place
100%.
And they're 5 years in and the light turns on, like, you know, Baker Mayfield,
this
Sam
is
Darnold.
Why I think the college football model right now with the portal and the NIL sucks so bad. I understand it from a player's point of view where I'm like, dude, go get your money. But at the same time, if you're not starting in year one or year two and all of a sudden you're transferring it and you're going to a different system and your development is way off track, like, it stinks. I think one of the reasons Carson Beck has had so much success at Miami so far is the fact that he spent 4 years at Georgia in a system where he was allowed to develop. I think there's a lot to be said about that. And so I don't know, man. It's it does suck, because we talked about it yesterday. We talked about Matt Ryan and guys like that that went through multiple systems, but you're allowed to develop at least a little bit and kind of get a longer leash, and so it's something to keep track of. Speaking of quarterbacks in the NFL and guys that are 40 years old, Joe Flacco named the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. Here's Zach Taylor talking about why.
Played him a lot, watched him a lot. Brings great experience, great leadership. His style fits our style of play too, so excited to get him out there. We'll start him this week, so he's going to take all the reps, get ready to go. Already spent a lot of time meeting with us, getting up to speed, so feel really good about where he's at. He's played Green Bay this year, so he's already gone through a week of prep. Now, the communication and the weekly rhythm is maybe different, unique, but he's already prepared for this opponent.
How about this line? Green Bay Packers, 14-point favorites over the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Flacco. I'm going to have to get used to saying that. Joe Flacco and the Bengals. You know this. I heard this yesterday. Let me blow your mind for a second. Can I blow your mind? I heard this yesterday. Joe Flacco is the first quarterback in Bengals history that's won a Super Bowl. Yeah. Soak that one in.
Are you sure?
The first quarterback in Bengals history that's won a Super Bowl. That's
what
I was told.
Start a game, or maybe they didn't even have like an older backup?
I think
it's
to be a starter, but it might be just point blank. That's crazy. Crazy to think about.
I will say, mind blown.
Yeah.
Pause. Two ways to think about this. Joe Flacco has a better supporting cast offensively around him than he did in Cleveland when he beat this Packers team. But the other thing, I'm talking about offensively alone, the defense is much worse.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It should help him, though, knowing what he knows and having guys that maybe can do some of the things that if he had them, he could have them doing, that could set him off. I think Flacco is going to look great in his first game. I could be way wrong, because, you know, it's basically a coin toss. But I think he could go out there and just light up this defense. If he can, if they can get open quick enough with Higgins and Chase,
yeah.
I think he could light this defense up.
I'm going to ask you a question that I don't think you know the answer to, but did Brian Callahan coach the offensive line when he was with Cincinnati before he got the head coaching job at any point?
I thought he was that the de facto OC, and I say de facto because I thought he was the OC that didn't call plays, but yeah. I don't know.
I know that his dad's background is
Bill.
Obviously.
His dad's Bill Callahan.
Yeah, I know.
Big
I'm
Bill.
I'm alluding to that.
Big
I'm,
Bill said.
I'm alluding to the fact that his dad has been an offensive line coach his entire life. I'm just wondering if Brian has too, because I think that's one of the things that's been missing since, you know, forever in Cincinnati when it comes to protecting Joe Burrow. It is funny to see how Brian Callahan is kind of
– no. At no point has he coached offensive line. He's been an OC, QB coach, a coaching assistant, offensive quality control.
I'm pretty sure Bill's his O-line coach in Tennessee.
He is.
Yeah, so there you go.
He's either coached quarterbacks or been the OC pretty much everywhere he's been.
All right.
And he was the OC for the Bengals.
Interesting enough. I do want to pay off. We talked about it earlier. There was a trade in the NFL yesterday. The Jags get corner Greg Newsome, and Tyson Campbell is shipped to the Browns. Another cornerback, former Georgia Bulldog Tyson Campbell. This seems like a couple of guys that are good players that they just think need to change the scenery.
Yeah, because Campbell just signed a deal,
massive deal,
over a year ago, July of 2024, and Newsom's on an expiring contract.
Yeah. Interesting enough, I remember, I think it was Tyson Campbell and Pat Surtain that were coming out of American Heritage together that were recruits at the same time. 5-star corners on the same high school team. Didn't even seem fair. Pat Surtain goes to Bama, Tyson Campbell goes to Georgia. Two pretty good programs to set them up for some success. All right, we got to go to break. We come back, we're going to hit a mic'd up, and we're going to do a stockbroker's edition of college football quarterbacks. Are you buying? Are you selling? Are you just holding? All right, stick with us here. It's the Morning Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike, Bo, Dylan hanging out with you here on a Thursday morning. Thank you guys so much once again for hanging out with us. Rusty Manziel coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the Georgia Bulldogs. We got a lot of things to get to. In just a minute, we're going to hit a mic'd up, and we're going to talk about college football quarterbacks. You're buying, you're selling, you're holding. Got 10 of those guys lined up to be able to hit in that category. But first, let's get to some Major League Baseball playoffs. I got a question for you. Let's hit some of these scores real quick. Tigers win 9-3, Cubs 4-3. They force another game in that matchup. The Blue Jays over the Yankees, they clinch that series 3-1, and then the Phillies beat the Dodgers. Dodgers still lead that series 2-1. All right, so
Dylan's Phillies.
Yeah, Dylan's Phillies. Yeah,
I am a Braves fan and a Falcons fan, and I'm a fan of all NFL sports teams, despite false narratives made on the show. Back to you, fellas.
I will take a little bit of that off of you for a second because I've talked about this before. I grew up a Chicago Cubs fan, right? And watching Kyle Schwarber last night hit a couple taters for Philly, I'm curious if you get this feeling because I watched Dansby play a little bit yesterday for the Cubs. Obviously, Freddie Freeman, you know, long time, 12 years for the Atlanta Braves, now with the Dodgers. Do you find yourself rooting for those guys when they're in their other teams after a long, you know, stint with the Atlanta Braves or whoever your team is? Or do you find yourself looking at it going, dude, I'm sick of seeing that. It gives me a sick feeling in my stomach to see those guys play for somebody else. I just want it to go away.
Dansby, I do. I full on pull for Dansby because hometown kid, and when they both left in different ways.
Sure.
I am a fan, and so I get irritated by fan narratives that I hear, and you get mad at me about it, but I'm sorry.
You get big ears in these,
I'm sorry,
in these moments.
I don't care. I heard the fans tell me how easily replaceable Dansby was and how just let him walk. I heard sports talk radio hosts tell me how easily replaceable he was and let him walk, and we have not had a shortstop since. I mean, we had that 1 year where it was like, oh, this is,
RCA had the first half.
Yeah, the first half of it was all it was.
Yes.
And so I root for him. With Freddie, it was like, you need to resign. And Dansby would have stayed had them. Look, we were never going to offer Dansby what he got there.
But I think Cubs fans would make the argument they don't know if the money was there. But it should have been there.
But I think if they don't let it get to that point, Dansby is still here.
For sure.
Now, the Freddie thing is that the money was almost the same. It was just an extra year, and it got ridiculous, and Freddie wanted to stay, just like Dansby did, but Freddie wanted to stay badly and probably would have taken the deal had he been able to see it, and his agent didn't let him see that final offer, apparently. He was like, no, that's not what we were taking. So, and I did not pull for Freddie last year. I actually really didn't care because I hate the Dodgers and the Yankees, and I was really happy to see him light up that World Series. I'm sick of the – and it's also the team they went to.
I was going
to
say, that's the biggest question because I don't
I hate the Dodgers.
Even if I'm a Cubs fan or a Braves fan at the time, I don't like the Phillies, and I definitely don't like the Dodgers.
I'll never pull for these teams. Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies, Mets.
Interesting.
Pretty much it. The Astros have worked.
Freaking hate
Cardinals are another one I'll never pull for.
God, I hated
Do you know
Cardinals
why I hate
up.
The Cardinals? It's not even the same. You grew up a Cubs fan, so you hate them. And you didn't grow up in Atlanta. Dylan grew up in Atlanta. He has no excuse to be a Phillies fan. Or to ever... No, hold on a second. To ever say that you're pulling for the Phillies because you grew up in Atlanta, other than the fact that you love Philly sports.
Can I say something real
quick? You can. Yeah, absolutely. I'm never going to let you not speak when you I call you out.
I did not say that I was rooting for the Phillies. I said I would rather see the Phillies in the World Series than the Dodgers and the Yankees again. That doesn't mean I'm rooting for them. I just really don't care.
Can I give you the rebuttal to that?
Yes.
The question was, I listened enough. The question was, who's your B team? And you said, I'm pulling for the Phillies.
I said the Tigers. Nah,
I'm with Dylan on that one. It was a conversation about, are you tired of seeing the same teams?
Yes.
The Phillies, he was like, I'd rather see the Phillies than the Dodgers and Yankees.
No. No, because we've only seen the Yankees once in the last, like, 7-8 years being in the World Series. We literally saw the Phillies in a World Series recently.
I got one more name I want to throw at
right?
you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, they lost that World Series to the Astros, right?
Yeah.
I got one more name I want to throw at you in terms of former Braves, and then we got to turn the page and go to Mike Taylor. How about Max Fried? Rooting for him?
Yeah.
You are rooting for Max Fried.
I'm rooting for Max
even
Fried.
Even though he plays for the Yankees.
But you know the difference? Max Fried plays in, well, they're out now.
Right.
But he plays in one game, maybe two games a series. So I'm always going to pull for Max Fried to do well. I love Max Fried.
That's fair.
Max Fried is one of my favorite Braves over the last 15 years. And so was Dansby, actually. Freddie was in there. He just wasn't top of the list.
Interesting. Okay.
Look, man, I don't have it. Max Fried also didn't throw any shade when he left. And the Braves
his
fans.
His is the same as Dansby to me. Like,
yeah,
he's going to get that money.
But Braves fans got mad at Dansby for throwing a little shade when he left. But Dansby did that a little bit, but Max Fried didn't do that at all. And so, you know, like, I've always liked Max. Look, hey, real quick, I know we got to get to a mic'd up, but I want to tell you right now, we've got an NFL quadruple header coming up this Sunday on Sports Radio 929 on the game, starting at 9:15 a.m. It's the Broncos taking on the Jets in London. Then we'll have the Cowboys at the Panthers. Then it's Titans at the Raiders, followed by Sunday Night Football with the Lions at the Chiefs. It's all brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. 4 big NFL games all day this Sunday on Sports Radio 929 The Game. You know what? I wonder if Window Nation will help me out with windows.
All right. Welcome into Mic'd Up. Reminder, as always, Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. We're going to do this thing today that is a stock market on college football quarterbacks. So
buy or
I mentioned
sell.
This earlier. All right, do what?
I say buy or sell.
Oh, buy or sell. Or
right.
Hold. You can hold, and you can hold if you want to, you know, move forward with that. I said Bondsman Bo or whatever it was earlier. Day Trader Dylan
you said
back
Broker
there.
Broker Bo.
Broker Bo.
And you were Mutual Fund Mike.
Mutual Fund
Mike. I love it. Mutual Fund Mike is the best thing ever.
One thing I've learned about Mike, he's pretty good when it comes to like making up names like alliteration. He's pretty good at Fair Foul Friday, Which One Wednesday.
Yeah. You know who hates
Tuesday.
That? Little man, Zeno. He's I hate the word alliteration.
Yeah, well, shocker. He hates everything. It is what it is, man. Let's run through a couple of these. I got 10 names that I want to throw out at you. You tell me, are we buying at this point? Are we selling? And granted, it could be just who they're playing this week. You think they're going to do well. You don't think they're going to do this week, or it could be the rest of the season. All right. So let's start off with the obvious one, because I think this is the conversation that most people are having in terms of college football quarterbacks. Let's start with Arch Manning. He's playing Oklahoma this week. They could be getting John Mateer back on the other side of the field. They are a dog, or they're a favorite in this game. No, they're a dog in this game. So 1.5 points, whatever the spread is. Are you buying, selling, or holding on Arch Manning for the rest of the way or for this weekend?
I'm holding. I'm not out on Arch Manning. I don't know what people expected. You know, it was ridiculous the amount of pressure put on him and all these accolades that he got preseason crowned with, and I said it during the preseason. Arch Manning, though, is starting to figure it out. I think he's got a good offensive-minded coach with him. He's got good talent around him. If their offensive line could get their ish together and learn how to protect and run block a little bit better, it might have been an easier path. Hold. Do not sell yet on Arch Manning.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to sell for this weekend because I think that's how good Oklahoma's defense is.
Is it just the weekend?
Well, you can go either way. That's what I was saying. You can go either way. They are a 1.5-point favorite, by the way, as we move towards. All right, so, but I was going to say, I'm going to sell for this weekend, but I think long-term you're right to hold. I'm not buying yet. I think that he'll get there. I'm going to hold long-term, but I am selling this weekend. I think he's going to be up against it.
They haven't beat a Power 4 team yet, have they?
No, they have not.
Huh.
They have not. Speaking of which, let's go to talk about another quarterback that was in the headlines this past weekend. How about Nico Iamaleava? I think the stock's still relatively low. It started to gain some steam. They're going to play at Michigan State this weekend. I believe that's a noon Eastern game. You buying, selling, holding on Nico Iamaleava?
I've never been buying, so I'm continuing to sell.
Right. You're out on him.
Not a Nico guy.
You don't think that he's turned over a new leaf under Jerry Neuheisel?
I think he took advantage of a team on a rebound, and it didn't go well for the rebounding team.
Wow. I think I'm going to buy. I think I'm going to buy Nico.
Throw your money. Hey, let me go grab my lighter. I'll just burn your money for you.
I think I'm going to buy Nico because I think that if he continues to have a run component to his game, which he hasn't really shown too much of in the past, and I think that changes everything for him. Now, do I think that there's a chance that he, you know, twists an ankle or a knee or something? Absolutely. He's like 165 soaking wet. But I think I'm going to buy on Nico, man. I think that if he's going to run for 150 yards, then add me in on that one. Speaking of which, let's go to the team that was on the other side of the field in that matchup. Let's talk about Drew Aller. Northwestern at Penn State this weekend. Are we buying or selling on Drew Aller for Penn State?
I'm buying this weekend. I'm going to hold overall because I still this is what frustrates me about James Franklin. How is this, year three of Drew Aller starting, and I don't know what the hell he is?
I know. Is that a James Franklin thing or a Drew Aller thing?
Mm-mm.
I agree with you.
I'm sorry.
I think it's James Franklin.
I'm sorry. I think it's... development is part of a college. If you get it, how many college coaches get the in today's game get the luxury of having a quarterback for that many years there in the program, and we still don't know what they are? No.
I'll be curious to see where his goes. I think I'm just going to hold on Drew Aller for now. I think I'm just holding. I think he probably does have a good game, obviously, against Northwestern, a little bit of a rebound game, but I'm still not sure that he's the guy that everybody had pinned in preseason, including Phil Steele, who we had on the show. All right, I got to speed up. How about this one? Let's go to your guys down there, the Florida Gators. DJ Lagway, I think you're buying. You've had that twinkle in your eye all week.
I'm buying because he's gotten what – could be, if used right, one of the best players in college football in Dallas Wilson.
Yeah.
True freshman. And you pair that with a very good run blocking offensive line and Jaden Ball's a very good running back. I think that it could start to click. So I'm buying.
All right, we got
to
hustle through these. I'm selling on DJ Lagway this weekend,
Hater.
And I'm going to hold long-term. At Texas A&M, he ain't going to fare well. It's not going to be LSU bad, but it's not going to be good. All right, how about my guy, Ty Simpson, man? At Mizzou this weekend, noon start, Como. What do you think, buy or sell?
I'm buying Ty Simpson all the way. I'm not selling stock on anybody by like a Ty Simpson. This guy is going to be probably one of the first three quarterbacks drafted.
Next year. Obviously buying on him. Let's talk about the guy on the other side of the field, Bo Pribula.
I have no clue what Bo Pribula is. He couldn't even win the starting. He was heralded, transferred from Penn State, lost the starting job out of camp. Obviously, he has Mizzou rolling. They're 14th in the country, but I just don't know what he is. So I'm going to hold because
I'm going to hold this weekend too. I think that dual threat quarterbacks give Bama problems, but they've played nobody. They haven't even played an away game yet. Missouri has not.
Must be nice.
Let's talk about Julian Sayin. How about that one? Ohio State's quarterback, they face off of Illinois this weekend. Julian Sayin, we buying, selling, holding?
You know, I'm going to sell this weekend.
It's pretty high. The stock's really high right now.
I'm going to sell this weekend.
You could make the argument that it's as high as it's going to get.
I'm going to sell and make some money because I'm not sure we know what he is yet. Because people forget, if Arch Manning didn't have – if he was playing any other quarterback in week one that was starting for Texas other than Arch Manning, everyone would have been complaining about – how bad he played in that game.
Yeah.
He didn't play great either.
I agree with that one. Let's go. We got to get some of these quick. How about this one? He's only made one start. Trinidad Chambliss.
Bye.
Washington State this weekend.
Bye. Washington State might be one of the worst teams in a wannabe Power 4 conference.
Long term, though, how about this? His next two games, Georgia and Oklahoma.
Dude, I'm going to tell you something.
That's tough.
But yeah, so what?
That's tough.
I watched Lane Kiffin put in the quarterback that he's now benched go down the field against Georgia. Bye.
All right. How about this? Two more. Garrett Nussmeier, South Carolina this weekend.
I'm going to sell.
Wow.
I think South Carolina's a revenge game.
And wow.
Nussmeier forces stuff too much.
All right. And then final one, Gunnar Stockton.
I'm buying.
Buying, selling,
I'm
holding.
Buying. They're going
to. I think if you're buying, though, aren't you saying that it's going to get better than it is right now? He's pretty good.
I'm buying for this weekend.
All right.
I mean, I'm holding. Maybe I've already got stock. I don't know. You know, I don't know about the hold.
All right, man, we got to go to break. Fun stuff right there. Appreciate you guys. Reminder, this segment brought to you by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. We come back, we're going to chop it up with Mr. Georgia Bulldog, Rusty Mansell himself. He's going to give us, he's going to say whether or not he's buying on Gunnar Stockton. Stick with us. It's more just Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.